Hey guys, welcome to Generation Dry. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Leah. Let's jump in. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, I'm excited to talk about loneliness today.
Right?
Only like, because really...
we don't have to talk about it alone. We get to talk about
it together. That's a good point. You're right. We're not sitting in our rooms just thinking about it.
Exactly.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think it's like, it's kind of interesting because I was like, oh, this is kind of a sad topic. Not like any of our topics are just like super uplifting, but they're always informative and I feel like normalizing, which is good.
Yes.
So the reason this came up for me and why I thought it just felt relevant in the moment, and I'm going to call myself out. So to our listeners, I tested positive for COVID last week, so I didn't think I had COVID. Was negative, home test, wasn't feeling great. Finally went to Walgreens, took their test, inconclusive, had to go back, took it again, positive. And it was such a venture, but I felt like it had to have been. So regardless, I was isolating, you know, just because I was like, just in case this is COVID, which turned out to be COVID, I needed to isolate. But I felt really tired, fatigued. It was like a bad cold. I had stomach stuff. But anyways, the reason I'm almost like justifying this. So the reason I bring this up is because I spent a lot of time watching TV. And I started watching, and I'm so ashamed of this, Love Island US season 4. You watch it, Kayla?
I have not. I'll do Southern Charm.
Okay.
That's probably my guilty pleasure, but I don't know. I've tried to get into the dating stuff and I just couldn't. I don't know why.
You're not missing out. And I'm not to shame anyone for watching it. Cause like it's for sure entertaining. It's really awful though. I watched the other ones. I've stopped watching Bachelor a couple, like 2-3 seasons ago, because I just found it like not as, not as serious. Like, I feel like everyone's an influencer. Anyways, I'm not super big on dating shows right now, but I was like, you know, I'm feeling crappy. Everyone talks about Love Island. Let me give it a shot just because I need something to numb and just not? Like veg. Right. So started watching Love Island. It's awful. Awful meaning it's just so, the whole principle, and I'm just going to set this up, is they have 6 women start on the island, and it's not an island, by the way. This is like this, it's in the US. It's like off the shore of like Malibu, right? In this big house. It's like,
I know. I'm like, where do we have an island? Like,
I know there's no island. There's no actual island, but it's like, okay. it's kind of just like this summer house. We'll say like a camp for adults. Right. And the whole premise is you have to be in a couple. And if you're not in a couple, get kicked off the island. So like, and then they send new people in. So it starts up with 6 women. All of them are wearing like really skimpy bikinis. And like, it just runs you a Vegas pool party where you're like, everyone's wearing like full, like, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because they're wearing like heels. They're all like, it's just like, it's a scene. Right. And
you know,
I think
casual outfit.
Their bathing suits, like thongs. Yes. With their heels, they're like platforms. Like everyone has like, shit ton of makeup. Everyone has like a lot of fake boobs. Not there's any, again, no shaming, but it's just, it's very like there, it's a vibe, right? And
yeah,
they're all like early mid-20s. So I'm just setting this up because like it's just embarrassing to even say that this is where I came to this idea of loneliness. I started watching it, got hooked. Now I'm fully up to speed. Episode 12 is tonight. I'm caught up. I'm going to keep watching. I'm committed. However, it's awful because the whole premise is like, if you're not in a couple, you get kicked off the island. And at the very beginning, it's like, it reminds me of like middle school where you pick teams, like your kickball team. And essentially like you're waiting to get picked by a guy to be coupled with. And like, so you step forward if you're interested. Do they pick you? Not usually. And then you have to like be, it's like just so awful.
That's
it's just
sad.
Like awful. It's really awful. It's awful, Kayla. And I like, once I started doing that, I stopped watching. And then I was like, then I like that was like week before my COVID situation. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm doing this. Anyways, it's awful. They're all young and they're all like super horny and they're having a great time. But you know what? I do love that they're very confident and they're very just like excited, like to be there and to like, they're all actually, and you know, there's not a lot of viciousness, which is the girls. I just think the premise about like being in a couple and then getting kicked off or like, it's awful, you know? Yeah. I guess it's similar to the Bachelor, but essentially, you know, there's like multiple couples. It's not like one man, 50 women. But anyways, so I started watching it. They're very in, like, they're always all making out. Like, they have challenges. They're all making out. They like are all just like cuddling and all over each other. And I got like this, I'm like isolated in my place, just me and Lucy, my dog. And then as a single person watching like 7-8 people, just like no more, like 12, whatever, like just make out and like cuddle. I was like so lonely. It was like, and I just had this, it just hit me like a freaking like bus. I just felt this lonely feeling of like, so I'm single. For all you listeners, I'm dating, but like, it was very, like, I felt very much aware of my singleness in that moment.
Yeah.
And again, it's not like I need to be on Love Island. There's no, like, desire for that. But it was just this aware, like, I just became aware
for Love Island.
I know. God. They'll be like, this is, they would call me a cougar. They'd be like, this lady is way too old. But,
is elder millennial.
Yeah. And just the loneliness camp. And this is not, I think why I thought to bring it up, because it's not just about romantic relationships. I think a lot of people, whether it's you're struggling with mental health issues, whether it's you're in recovery and friends or family are not in recovery, it can feel very isolating and lonely. Yeah. And that's why I thought this would be a good topic. Also, just felt very much, I felt it. I felt it deep in my core, that loneliness, like just feeling kind of isolated. And I don't know, it was very, I've been open about loneliness. Like, I feel like it's a normal emotion that a lot of people don't admit to. I think too, as women, we want to be like seen as strong, independent. So if you like show any sign of like loneliness or like vulnerability in that sense, I think we tend to want to like appear otherwise. So I think there's also there a lot of stigma with that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a difference between being lonely and being alone. Mm-hmm. And yet we don't really distinguish that too often. Mm-hmm. I think, like you said, we assume, and this is other cultures too, it's definitely not, and I think it's actually worse in other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
When we assume, especially people of a certain age, if they're not in a relationship or married, that there's something like wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they must be so sad and, you know, lonely.
Mm-hmm.
When in actuality, that might be the case, but there are a ton of people who prefer being alone. There are a ton mm-hmm. of people who are prioritizing other things at the time. But mm-hmm. I do think, you know, you hit the nail on the head with the point that, and especially for women, it's just assumed that, oh, you know, you're 30 years old and you don't have any kids and you're not married and, you know, you're single. Like, what's wrong with you? That's so sad. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a spinster or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't help with all of these TV shows, all of these rom-coms, unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's always mm-hmm. a happy ending, which that was one thing I loved about The Breakup. That movie mm-hmm. with Jennifer Aniston and
Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn.
Because it was, like, the first realistic movie. Like, they didn't get back together. And you're, like, so shocked. But that's how it goes. And so it totally doesn't surprise me that something as simple as a reality show could be triggering, because especially, you know, I think there's more going on there, right? Like, you're getting constant mm-hmm. validation, you're getting attention from more than one person. You're not alone at any time because you're literally, well, not on an island, but, you know, supposedly you're on an island. And as a single person, especially for you who has to isolate themselves, I mean, where did your brain go, I guess, is my question. Like, I mean, I think when we say lonely, it's such a broad term, but like,
totally,
you go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a, like, usually there's like just this feeling, like just like, I think it's just like feeling, yeah, like, oh, it would be nice to have to like have a partner or someone to like do this isolating with, right? Like a lot of people that are in relationships, you usually both people get it because they share a space, right? And so they're like isolate together. So I think it's like feeling like you don't have that person, and that kind of is hard because like it's just nice to like share that time and like commiserate together and have someone who like also feels lousy, or someone even to care for you and you care for them and it feels like we're in it together. I think there's that. And I think I do, like, I think that's something I have struggled with, where my brain will, as we talked about, like OCD, I'll like kind of like spiral into thoughts of like, what does this mean for the rest of my life? Like in that moment, and like, you know what I mean? And especially when you're not feeling well physically, I feel like I just don't have the capacity sometimes to be like, let's slow your roll. Like, this is just one moment in time. You've been in a relationship. You know what I mean? It's just now, yeah. Right now you are physically alone. But I had to, like, I had neighbors who I'm friends with in my complex who brought stuff over. I have my parents nearby. Like, I had to, so it kind of like, I had to go from like seeing my mind derail a little bit and experience that. And then just like, honestly, I had to bring it back to like gratitude, which I know it sounds corny, but that, I mean, it doesn't get rid of the loneliness feeling all the time, but it definitely helps to curb it, or at least know I'm not actually alone. I think something you mentioned too is, and I want to like mention this as well, is I know people that are in relationships, especially as a therapist, that also feel alone even when they have a partner. Yeah. So I think sometimes it can be just not feeling seen or heard, or not having a sense of community, not having people you can just check in with, connect with, say hi to, how was your day? Like, I feel like it can just feel like when you're, I think that loneliness can be so many things. It can be not having a partner, but it can also be feeling like you're othered, like you're not part of something, you're like kind of floating in the universe alone. And so I think it can definitely, like, for me, I think it was like seeing, being physically alone, and then like being like having this kind of existential crisis in this, like, yeah, 'cause I have so much time to think, right? So I think that definitely thoughts came in and out, but I think I had to redirect my brain to gratitude. But that's kind of where my thoughts went. Like, I was like, I can notice myself kind of like the train was going off the tracks. And then I was like, okay, but like, you have a lot of people, you are dating, you've been in relationships, you have so many people that are in your support system. Like, your health is good enough where you can take care of it, you know, because it was mild. Like, I'm grateful for that too. It was relatively mild. So I don't know. It's hard though, when you're sick, when you're feeling physically unwell, it's hard to like really sometimes be actively in that space to cope and to challenge those thoughts.
Oh yeah. I mean, and I guess my question for you, and this could be kind of your personal take or your take as a clinician. Mm-hmm. What to you is like the opposite of loneliness? Is it connection?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's connection, and it's feeling part of something bigger. So connection, like with people that I know and that I love, or even I did this personally during the pandemic when, like, I was, you know, I was also living alone then. And where I was talking to clients about this, so as a therapist, like, I think sometimes even going to the grocery store and like smiling at someone, like just making eye contact, like not in like a hitting on them way, but like,
yeah.
You know, just like, someone, or someone like gets like your ice cream that you like, and you're like, oh my God, I'm upset. You just like make those connections, or Like, as you're a dog mom too. Like, I love animals. I can like stop, I'll stop anyone on the street and compliment their dog. Like, I, so those connections where you're having like a meaningful connection where you're like showing appreciation for another person or their pet or like just like a common interest can help you feel connected and feel not alone. 'Cause I feel like when you live alone or you work from home and you have no contact with other people physically, it can be really isolating. And even if you have friends and family and whatnot, even a partner, right, you can feel really just disconnected and like you're doing this all by yourself, like the life, just doing life by yourself. So
Absolutely.
I always, yeah. So I mean, I think as far as personally, I like to like go on walks and like smile at people and like familiar faces like with in different homes that like I pass on when I walk Lucy, and or just like even again making small talk with someone like at Target. Like, it just, it can be that easy, can help me. And I've noticed it helps a lot with other people and helps a lot of people feel more compassionate towards themselves because they know, okay, there are other people that are in this world that are probably struggling like I'm struggling. So I like that connection piece helps with self-compassion too. And that's part of actually like a self-compassion research shows that connection and that common humanity is really helpful for being more compassionate towards yourself.
And it's so interesting too that I know, and I don't remember who the speaker was, but there's a really good TED talk about addiction. And I believe the title is The Opposite of Addiction is Connection. And so it kind of reminds me of, and not to say that people, everybody uses because they're lonely, but I do think it's a large component in why a lot of people use substances because they don't have that connection. They feel, not part of, and I know even from my own story and from so many other people's that I've heard over the years, it's always that I feel like I'm the black sheep. I have friends, but for me, I had friends, but it was still this inner critic telling me, like, do they even really like you? Like, do your friends even really like you? And constantly questioning yourself and your connections and not feeling confident about that. And I think it can also, it's kind of a dangerous place to be because it can lead to other maladaptive behaviors, not necessarily just, drinking or using, but I know in the past when I was not as emotionally intelligent as I am today, and I can always be better, right? We're always learning, we're always evolving. But when I was lonely, I would always reach out and try and fill the void really quickly with talking to guys or calling an ex and doing something that really wasn't in the best interest of my mental health. But I was just so uncomfortable with the loneliness and I didn't know how to be alone. And so instead of learning how to sit with myself, right? I would just, stuff whatever I could fill into that void. And then you get to a place, when you're older, like right now, and I know we've talked about it before, I recently went through a separation and I'm in Ohio living with my parents right now. And I've made like two friends here, which for me, I'm not like a quality or I'm not a quantity type of friend person anyways. I prefer quality over quantity friends. So I don't need, 15 friends if I can have, two or three really good friends for this period of time, especially because I know I'm going to be leaving soon, then that's completely fine with me. But what was really hard in the beginning before I made any connections was just that feeling of I'm completely alone. And yes, I'm not physically because I'm my parents are here, but you know, I'm in a town where I didn't grow up, you know, and that's the assumption of like, oh, well, you might, didn't you go to high school there? No, this is where my grandparents lived. So I moved back to a town where I don't know anybody besides family. And I'm not even close with my family really, because we grew up moving around so much. Mm-hmm. And so I really definitely fell into a really dark place. I would say the first 2 months, because yeah. I went from having that really strong connection with my sober group of girlfriends back in Orange County, with mm-hmm. obviously my partner, who is also my best friend, and also my yoga community, and then having to come and really completely start from scratch was, I'm trying to think of the right word, because helpless isn't the right word, but I think mm-hmm. maybe defeated. And I didn't, in the beginning, I just didn't really know how to deal with it. And I felt like, well, what's the point? You know, mm-hmm. what's the point of trying? I don't want to be here, you know, so, but then I realized quite quickly, you know, you're going to be here for a couple of months. So it's going to be a lot harder if you don't reach out and try and make connections, because, and once again, right, like I left Reframe and mm-hmm. I have even less to do now. So, you know, it's been mm-hmm. crazy how little I've had to keep me busy and productive, and how I also have been going through just this, these ebbs and flows of loneliness, I guess is the yeah. best way to put it, where I try and practice gratitude and remember, you know, I have everybody waiting back at home for me. And I have this amazing community of people online who I genuinely feel connected to, even people I have never met. But it's hard when it's, you know, it's 11 yeah. at night and, you yeah. know, no one's texting you and you're not getting any Slacks or emails and it just kind of settles in. And like you said, you know, I went from living with somebody else and going to bed next to somebody else mm-hmm. to going to bed alone. And it's a really, really hard shift. And I think it pushes a lot of people to go back to old behaviors, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the thing is, and I'm glad that we talk, I think what's good we're talking about this, because I think people just don't like to talk about the topic because it's like, it's not super warm and fuzzy, but I yeah. think it's so common. And something that I also, you know, you and I think we talked about this, but like stage of life wise too, I have amazing friends that are local. I have a lot of local friends. This is the time in my life where people are getting married, have been married, getting engaged, having kids. Like it's just, and it, I'm actually feel like I'm, my friends are on the actually later side, which is like, as far as, I mean, it's like more in our 30s, right? That this has yeah. all happened. So I'm fortunate in that way. Cause I think just, you know, here, this here or there, I think it's been a definitely later than a lot of people, but when I'm with that comes, you have to be more intentional with seeing people. People mm-hmm. aren't as available cause they're starting families and like, all of that I get, because I would do the same because yeah. I want kids and all that, right? So it's like, I get it, but it's hard because while I know they're local, that I can always see them like in the near future, that they are still my friends, there's a shift in the dynamic, and that can feel really lonely too, because they're not as like present as, or those relationships aren't at, they shift, the relationships change, yeah, so it becomes absolutely. Then Yeah, then it becomes, and then I think what's hard is, and I talk to a lot of clients about this too, it can feel like even like those long distance friendships, right? Like kind of like what you're saying, like they're not physically there, so it's almost like they're not real, but they totally are. It just requires more effort and they look differently during that. So, but
Yeah.
it can feel really lonely to go from like having this huge support system or people you see regularly to having friendships that are more long distance or seeing people like every 3 to 4 weeks because just that's how life is, or friends that you used to see like daily at work. Like I have a close friend, two close friends that I used to see daily. Now because we don't work together, I don't see them daily. So that was like a very, so it's just, there are a lot of adjustments and I do think it's hard not to go back to old behaviors or find the quick fix because it's just, it's like a slap in the face almost. Like it feels very, it's very jarring initially, especially when you haven't experienced that for a while.
Oh yeah, I was thinking about that when you and I were just talking about it the other day, because you go from like think about like high school or college. I was always like I always had we call ourselves like the tripod, but I always had like one or two girls with me almost at all times. Like it was almost like a codependency friendships, but you're just so attached at the hip to people. And they're so available because you're so young and you don't really have any other priorities. And then maybe in college, you have classes or maybe you play sports and things like that. But outside of that, you really all you want to do is hang out and do stuff with each other. And yeah, of course, there's always, the boyfriend girls who kind of start dating somebody and disappear. I think there's one of those in every group. But for the most part, you can kind of count on always having a friend. Like, even if it's a phone call, or like for me, like literally, even when my girlfriends lived with us for a long time, so
Someone's
was like
always available.
sister. Yeah. And growing up, oh, I grew up, in a lot of different places, but when we finally settled down, and where I went to high school was a small town in the Midwest. And so the mentality, I think there, like in the South, is you get married young, you stay within your town, your county, and you have kids and you make a family and et cetera. And so even though I'm 29, hashtag almost 30, tomorrow.
The best years of my life, honestly.
I
As
know,
we're talking about
100%.
loneliness, they really have been the best years of my life.
I know. But I have this, it's almost like a double wave has come because in the beginning, my mentality shifted to I want to get married young, I want to have kids. So when I was in college, after me and my long-term high school boyfriend, who I thought I was going to marry and be with forever, broke up. I was really on the kind of hunt and the joke. And I don't know how common it is in the West, but a lot of people in the Midwest and the South joke about girls looking for their MRS degree. And that's
Well,
where
not,
I go, right, to certain colleges. But obviously, after that relationship didn't work out, and I had some other college relationships, but nothing that lasted really long. I was also like heavy into my addiction, not mentally stable, so nothing would have been healthier or lasted regardless. And then I got into another relationship that was also unhealthy with another person in active addiction, and I got sober and they didn't. But I remember, because this was when I was like 24, and it seems really young, but for me and for my friends at the time, people were already getting married and engaged. I had some friends who were pregnant. I had my best friend had already had her first baby when she was 18. And so, And it's not necessarily that I, like, needed that right away, but I did feel that pressure because I had this idea, like, well, my parents got married at 27, so I need to be married at least by then, and I want to have kids before 30. And I had these expectations, and then I moved to the West Coast, and I moved to California, and the culture shift also helped me change my mindset and be a little bit more open to a longer timeline. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of shifted to, well, I'd like to be married and have kids by 35 was kind of the new deadline I had held for myself, and honestly still do. But with this separation that happened so recently, it was such a bombshell for me because here's this person I've known for 10 years. So I don't need to get to know him any better. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and then we date for 2.5 and we're looking at houses to buy, and we bought a car together and we got a dog together and we talked about baby names, and it was very, very serious. You know, he even got me a really nice promise ring, kind of, you know, a promise that the, an engagement ring was to follow, because we didn't want to get engaged during COVID, because that was like literally everybody else was getting, like, all of our friends once again were getting engaged, and, you know, pregnancy announcement after pregnancy announcement. And then everybody got married kind of at the end, you know, because they had to keep canceling weddings and stuff. But that same kind of wave hit me and has been hitting me the last couple of months, because it felt like, okay, I was totally on that trajectory. I was on the, on my timeline. Everything is good. But if I'm being real, like, it wasn't. And I think going back to something you mentioned earlier, which was, I was very alone in a relationship. And so, and I don't know who said it, but I think it's a very old quote where it's like, I would rather be alone than be lonely and with somebody. And I know some people don't feel that way. I know some people feel like they need, and that codependency is there, but I definitely feel you as I'm turning 30 and seeing another good friend have a pregnancy announcement. And I'm honestly so stoked for her, and, you know, going to my,
like, friend's, I'm stoked for her. But
yeah, I'm stoked for you, but, like, also I kind of want to be you, and I'm kind of jealous.
And those are normal feelings to feel too. I think we don't, like, we don't talk about that enough, because I have all these friends with, that are having kids. Honestly, I've been more jealous about the kids part than the marriage part.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm not, like, marriage is cool, but to me, like, the commitment of even just being engaged and getting a house together, I'm totally okay with. Like, I'm the child of multiple divorces, so marriage isn't something I'm, like, super keen on. I'm a little bit hesitant, to be honest. But I'm 100% there with you. I think people, it's hard to talk about, because you want to be happy for your friends, and you are. Yeah. But at the same time, I think especially as women, there's that cultural pressure too. And I feel it even more, you know, being back here in Ohio, because I think in California, there's less pressure. Because the age, like, I have friends, you know, getting married and having babies in their mid-30s, and that's, or even late-30s, and nobody kind of bats an eye. It's kind of like, okay, but I'm back here and, like, in Ohio, and everywhere I go, like, the coffee shop that I get my coffee from, or, you know, just anything I do, I see all these young people who are clearly, like, in their early 20s, and everybody has a goddamn ring on their finger. And I'm just like, cool.
Yeah. I notice that too, and I notice myself noticing that, and I get like then there's like shame with it. I'm like idolizing it, but it feels, I think too, this culture of like you belong to someone, you're part of something, like you are loved in this specific way. And if you don't have that physical like ring, there's this like sometimes this self-doubt or this like feeling disconnected or feeling, I think that brings up feelings of loneliness, even, you know what I mean? Just even seeing it is feeling like it's something that's absent or something that you don't have. It's tough. It is tough. I feel you. And I think it just that loneliness feeling can come up in all these situations. You're like, I'm just trying to get coffee, and now I feel like I feel like shit, right? Like you're like,
Now I feel like
I
this
just
old spinster, like.
I know it's wild, but I think, and we're not, I don't think the purpose of this podcast or today, especially this conversation, is to be like, this is how you don't feel lonely. But I think normalizing it and
Yes,
then
let's talk
helping people
solution.
to, yeah, because I think the more, I think people want like how to not be lonely, but it's, there's ways to kind of cope with the loneliness and do it in a way that's healthy and not going, something that's not going to be self-sabotaging. Like you said, like
Yes.
going to a drink, like going, getting a drink, reaching out to an ex, having more casual sex. And again, I'm not anti-casual sex, but if you're trying to fill that void and feel connected, and casual sex is usually not the answer, typically. So I think it's one of those things where I just want to normalize it and let people know, even if you're feeling lonely, or say, I think something to just remember is like, as you killer, like in Ohio and like not physically with your group of friends out here, that those friendships still matter. And again, we're not saying it's not about like don't feel lonely, but I think like I do that as well when I'm not seeing my friends, is like remembering your community, your friends, your loved ones, and just knowing that if you ever needed support, you do have people to reach out to, even if they're not physically there or like maybe they're distracted in the moment, right? Most of our friends, I think quality people in our lives will, if we really need them, be there for us.
Oh yeah. But I think to your point, it goes back to when you start hitting a certain age, and I'm sure anybody, older kind of older than us who's listening can already is probably nodding their heads, you have kids to drive to things, you have, meals to cook, you have responsibilities, and when you're the sing like I was like, fuck, now I'm like the single friend again. Which is weird. Well, not again, because I wasn't ever before, but now it's like a feeling I'm kind of like left out. And so I have been, and I think that's not the only reason, but for me, why it's been so important to like the solution for me has been putting myself out there and meeting people here, even though I'm normally totally. I'm like a extrovert introvert. Like it with my friends, I'm very extroverted. But if you were to meet me in person for the first time, or if I were to go to a party with my ex, like people would definitely have a very two very different impressions of my personality, whether in my inner circle or if we're just acquaintances. And it's not purposeful, it's just some social anxiety and being guarded. But I realized, I have no desire to be dating right now. It's too soon for me. And also, I'm hoping to get back to Orange County in a couple months. So I don't want to get attached to somebody here and then end up staying for the wrong reasons or just being sad that I have to leave somebody that I like. And but putting myself out there and then not just that, but making an effort to actually see the person. Like yesterday, I wasn't feeling super hot. I kind of had like a mini meltdown about turning 30 and just like, oh, I'm trying to think of like what happened. It was like I woke up and I didn't really sleep well. And then I ordered breakfast, but I like DoorDash fucked it up, and then I tried to go pick it up, but I went to the wrong place. And so they didn't have my order and it was so packed. And I felt like I was going to have a panic attack. So I was like crying, sitting in the chair, and the poor guy was like, and I was just like, I'm just not good with like so many people. And he was being like so nice. Right.
Oh, so sweet.
Yeah. But, I just think I needed to cry. Like, so finally, mm-hmm. after I like got my food, I just drove home and cried. But I had plans with a girl that I had met at the coffee shop that I always go to who works there. And we always just kind of were bantering. And so finally I was like, hey, like, would you ever like want to like hang out and like obviously not grab coffee because you have to be around all the time, but something else. But stick to it, because I feel like I can be that person. I think a lot of us can be those people. It's like, yeah, let's hang out. And then, like, it never happens. Mm-hmm. So following through, and, you know, I was a little nervous because she doesn't drive, so I had to go pick her up and, you know, with my driving anxiety and stuff. But I like, pushed myself. I was like, no, we're going to go to Whole Foods. We're going to get, you know, snacks. We're going to talk. And then we ended up talking, you know, for, like, 2.5 hours and had, like, really great conversation. And then I drove her home and then went to yoga and went home, and it was really good just to connect with another human being. And mm-hmm. especially here where, you know, my views are different than a lot of people here. The way that I dress is different. Just I stick out like a very sore thumb here. And mm-hmm. this person that I've met now is from New York. And so she kind of does too. So it's nice to spend time with somebody who gets it, who's not from around here and
yeah.
who's into a lot of the same things that I am. And so that's been really helpful, is really just putting myself out there. And then
you have to like, yeah. especially if you yeah. really don't have like community or people around you. I think it does, like you mentioned, like if you have kids, if you have responsibilities, it can be hard. But I also feel like people can meet people through their kids, right? I know a lot of people that totally. Make friends with that. But I think if you're single, especially, well, and even if you're not single, right? So I know a lot of people will move for a partner and they're feeling completely isolated because they don't have friends or community. I'm glad, it's great that you put yourself out there, and you have to. I mean, it's one of those things where it's I've done that too. I've joined a kickball team. Like, you know, I've done like, I've joined like a community service event. Like I've done these things to put myself out there. And I have a lot of friends here, but everyone, you know, like started kind of doing the marriage relationship thing. So you just have to, and it's causes some anxiety. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, and I always tell this like to clients and just like friends, even like I end up telling myself, like, when you like put yourself out there, the person's probably like your coffee friend was probably a little nervous too. Cause like you both are like new to this new friendship, right?
Totally. Like, and that's what yeah. she said. She was like, and now that I think about it, it actually might've been her that suggested we hang out, but I was thinking about saying it too. And mm-hmm. she was like, you know, it was kind of nerve wracking for me because it's like, if you had said no, well, now I've made it awkward and, you know, like, you're probably not going to want to come to this coffee shop anymore or something, you know? Yeah. And it's like,
so she took a risk.
Exactly. And it is, it's like, you know, it's almost like dating, like it's dating yeah. without dating. And so, but I think, you know, to your point, it's just, and also like for, you know, our sober and sober curious listeners, like staying in touch and connected with my online community has been like absolutely just so important to do, because not only does it give me purpose and connection, but it's so fulfilling to me. And I think especially if you're not going to like in-person support things, like I don't do AA. So like you would think, oh, you're sober, you know, just automatically go to AA out here and you'll meet people. And it's like, well, you know, my recovery is mm-hmm. counterculture. Like, I don't really fit into that. So I do need to stay connected in other ways. So I've been making an extra effort to go to more of my online meetings that I know, and, you know, starting Soberish and, you know,
like finding a way,
making an effort, which is hard.
It is hard, but it's like, it's, I think I mean, I don't know about you, and it sounds like it's definitely situation by situation, but when you put yourself out there, it's usually not as bad as you think. You know, there's some anxiety, especially anticipatory anxiety, but then once you, like, connect with another human who also feels similarly, or who, like, you just might also share some similar anxiety, or, you know, feel shy, like, I think that's really helpful when that happens, and it usually does with new groups or new friendships. So it's like just pushing through that discomfort, knowing that it's not going to be as bad, most likely, you know.
Oh, yeah.
As you might think. Yeah.
So what have you, I guess, been doing to kind of combat your loneliness?
During this time? I mean, so, like, the last couple of weeks, reaching out to friends, like, being more proactive. I think me working for myself has been really helpful, because my schedule allows me, like, I'm very introverted. I'm social, but I'm introverted. And so, I sometimes, especially if work's busy, I will, not isolate, not like in that form, but I just don't have what it takes to, like, be social and put myself out there. But I think when I'm feeling lonely, I know I need to. So even if I don't feel like I have the capacity to be social, I'll kind of do what you do. I'll, like, reach out to people. I'll call friends. Not so much the last 2 weeks because I was isolating, but I mean, I go on a walk in my neighborhood and you kind of, like, you know, pass people on the other side of the street, and that's how I kind of can feel connected if, you know, if I'm like literally having to stay in my place for 10 days. But for me, it's really just actively, like, texting, calling my friends. And honestly, it's funny. I was like, I had to pause Love Island a few times. I was like, this isn't going to help the situation. This isn't going to help the cause. And, like, so I was like, you know, typically you binge some of those things, but I think I was like, okay, I need to watch something else. So I even watched a funny movie. I forget what I watched. I watched Mean Girls recently because I added it on Netflix, but yeah, but I think it's just like, I'll do something that's more helpful versus something that would just, like, fuels the loneliness. So I was like, Love Island needs to go on a pause for a moment while I like recalibrate and reset. So that's kind of what it was. It's just reaching out to people, calling people more than I typically do, and just gratitude, and walking. So walking just to connect people around the neighborhood, but also that, again, exercise has always been my release, and I feel like I think more clearly, so I can really kind of work through those feelings and those thoughts connected to the loneliness. Like, I'll be like, okay, you're not really alone. Like, especially I think when you change your scenery, it's helpful to reframe some of the thoughts because you're in a new environment. You can kind of see things a little bit more objectively. Especially when you're outdoors. So I think that's been helpful too.
And it really is really difficult though, because, like, when you are introverted and when you are not the most comfortable talking with people, like, it sounds so easy to, like, oh yeah, just reach out, or, you know, even if you're good friends, like, sometimes it can be hard to want to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
And one thing that I do with some of my friends that's helpful is, like, we have, like, a standing phone call date, like, once a week or every other week, depending on the person and their availability. That way it's, like, it's something we can look forward to, and it doesn't feel too, like, rushed, because sometimes, you know, like, I'm having a really, like, stressful day, and the last thing I want to do is talk to anybody, really.
Yeah.
But then there's something about having that standing date that keeps us both accountable, and then we know it's kind of like, you know, that same thought process behind exercise, right? Where it's like, well, yes, the thought about exercise isn't that great, but then once you're there and once you do it, you're always happy you did. And that's kind of how I feel about the stand-up dates, especially right now, because like I just recently, like, I know we talked about it, but I had hurt my neck, and I went to the chiropractor, and he had told me that I had my C1 and one of my rib cages were out of place.
Oh God.
Yeah. So I had like a migraine for 2 weeks straight, and I was like, this is really abnormal and strange, and I get migraines chronically. So, but I was like, this is just not a normal migraine, you know, something's up. But now he's like, well, you can't work out for like a month. And I'm like, excuse me, sir, you know, like, what are we talking about here? Like I can't like do my power yoga, 'cause that makes sense. Like I shouldn't be doing any like inversions, et cetera. And he's like, you can go walking or like maybe spinning, and that's about it. And I'm like, I'm literally supposed to be getting certified as a Spanga instructor in like,
oh, so cool,
this weekend. So I'm like, fuck, like I really have to figure this out, because I'm also, and this is kind of not on the topic of loneliness, but also I think it's important just in general, is like to go back in general for toolkits, right? Like exercising is such a big anxiety reliever for me. It's part of the way I meditate. It's how I get into flow state. It's how I meet new people. It's also how I get the fuck out of my parents' house when I have nothing else to do, you know? But now I'm at this place where I'm trying to be smart about it, because it's like, tomorrow I wanted to go to Spanga because I was like, oh, well, I want them to take a picture of me with a sign that says like, I came to Spanga on my birthday, because they do that for everybody. And I was like, but is a picture really worth potentially like being back at square one, or, you know, hurting myself? No. So I'm thinking either I don't go at all, or I'm just going to go for the 20 minutes of spin and then leave. And part of my inner critic is like, you're being lazy, you're fine, you know, you are readjusted now, like, whatever, he's a chiropractor, he's not even like a real doctor, blah, blah, blah. But then I'm like, no, dude, like, you have a pattern of overexercising. I fractured my foot twice over COVID from spinning so much. And it also ties into like my orthorexia. And so now I'm sitting here going, all right, fuck, I don't have a job. And I mean, I am writing my book. So yes, I keep reminding myself, because I feel
like you're doing work.
Yeah. Once again, like I'm not doing anything, you know, we just launched, you know, Soberish yesterday and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but that's one less thing for me to get out and go and do in my toolkit. And so I had to really figure out, okay, well, what am I going to do? So like I went to Joann Fabrics and I spent a lot of money, but they also had great coupons. So, and I don't know if you saw it, but like I made these cute bracelets.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. I love that.
I'm like, I got all of these beads and these different kinds of, like threads and stretches, you know, whatever. And now I'm making like bracelets and like phone charms. And it's really helpful. You know, it gives me something to do with my hands, and yes, it's not exercising, but it's something that's a creative outlet for me. I get that little bit of dopamine boost at the end once, you know, the project is over, and it makes me feel good to give back. Like right now I'm making a little phone charm and a bracelet for each of my hosts, so I can send them that with the stickers to just say, you know, thank you for being part of this new venture with me, you know, because it's not like it's a paid position or anything in the beginning. It's really just grassroots. So I did find that it was helpful. And like a place like Joann's Fabrics or like Michael's, there's so much shit in there. Like if you don't want to make jewelry, there's so many different crafts and art. And like, I feel like even if you don't know what you want to do, you could totally go in there and just walk around for an hour and find something that speaks to you, that looks interesting. And like, you never know, like you might find like a new hobby that you really like.
And I think like if that's thinking outside the box, like just because you don't have access to maybe your go-to thing is really important, because I think it's easy to be like, oh, I'm isolating for 10 days. Now what the hell am I going to do? Like, and really just kind of go down to like, I have nothing. You know what I mean? Like it's like,
exactly. My life is over.
So yeah, I think there's like, especially for folks with anxiety or OCD, CBT, it's just like that routine's so helpful. Like it's an element of control, right? So we know we have our toolkit that we go to all the time, or we have these habits or patterns of behavior that we just know how to regulate. We're like, this is how I do it. This is how I manage my anxiety. This is how I like, you know, move my body. Like I do it this way. And it's just this, it's so easy to fall into that like rabbit hole and spiraling of like, well, now I can't do it, so nothing matters, or I'm not going to do anything now. But I think being creative and thinking outside the box and just being more flexible is really important.
Well, I forget who. It was one of my therapists that had mentioned to me, you know, I like the metaphor she used. She just said, you know, it's important to have more than one watering hole. And I really just like how she put that, because it's totally true. You know, if you only have one coping mechanism, and then, you know, metaphorically speaking, the water is tainted, then you have no coping mechanisms, or you're immediately going to go back to something maladaptive, because even something maladaptive is a coping mechanism, right? It's just a bad one. So it's really important to have as many as you can that serve different purposes. Like one thing I thought of today that I hadn't really thought of before was, well, I still want to be burning some calories. I don't want to gain any weight. Specifically, you know, a topic for another time with my ED and stuff, but I have a membership to a cryo place that has red light therapy, cryo compression, and an infrared sauna. So today, like, I sat in the sauna for like 45 minutes and burned like 300 calories, and I was like, all right, like, this is fine. Like, you know, it's not a spin class, it's not a hot Pilates class, but it's something. Like, and it's obviously good to sweat anyways. But that was hard for me too, to move my activity level down. Like, I think as somebody who, like, whether it's OCD, perfectionism, whatever, like, I usually try and set it for 500 calories a day, and setting it down to 300 was really hard. But I knew that given the circumstances, there's no way I'm going to probably be able to hit that. I go on like these walks every day, which walking is hard for me. I have shin splints. It's also like super fucking hot here and humid. So kind of compromising with myself, you know, and being like, all right, well, we can do what we can. We can go to Zen yoga. We can, you know, walk. I bought some walking shoes specifically for people with shin splints. Now I definitely feel old because I have orthopedic shoes.
It's good timing. But,
you know, there's other things, you know, like plants, like, and going through clothes and Poshmarking and just kind of like cleaning out things and, you know, starting over in general, like, I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent now, but
no. But I think what you're saying. Well, also, I think I don't know if we've talked about this on the actual like podcast, but our bodies tell us when they need to slow down. I'm not saying like, so I don't think anyone deserves to go through chronic pain or like an injury. Like that's never. But I think it's like sometimes we just have to listen to that, even if it's like goes against our natural inclination. You know, to like to to keep going at the same speed. So,
well, yeah, and I think I like reposted about it on Instagram the other day, but I read something. It was like, if you're not going to slow down, like your body's going to for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Like, you know, if you're not going to give yourself the rest that you need, your body's going to make you rest. And then you're not going to get to choose when. And right. It's going to probably be really fucking inconvenient. So.
It's true. Yeah.
But I think solution-wise, yeah, definitely, you know, staying connected online, staying connected in person, having standing phone dates, and mm-hmm. you know, but also I think it's important to find a healthy balance and to learn how to be alone and to mm-hmm. enjoy that time. Because I know, like, for me in the beginning of my sobriety, I hated being alone because I really didn't like myself. And mm-hmm. so I was almost afraid to be alone. I didn't trust myself. And so it's this weird place of being alone and being lonely, but also being like kind of codependent. And it's like, well, how do you fight that off and
yeah.
kind of learn how to stand on your own two feet? That way you can, whenever these situations come up, right? Like, obviously, you had no idea you were going to get COVID. Right. But, you know, now you have the tools to be able to handle it instead of kind of allowing it to break you down and, you know, take mm-hmm. you to a really bad place, which I think it took a lot of people during COVID to a really, really bad place.
Yeah. No, it did. I think it was it's been a terrible time for lots of people. People lost people. And then I think it's created a lot of like existential crises and general just like reflection of like, is my, you know, like, what am I doing with my life?
Yes.
Who do I have in my life? What, like, can I be better? Like, I think it's been this time where people have been very reflective and things that maybe we've been avoiding, we can't avoid any longer because we're stuck with ourselves. But I think you're right. I think it's becoming comfortable with being with ourselves can help ease that as well. So learning how to like yourself and take care of yourself.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, as a therapist, you know, and when you have a client who's kind of dealing with a similar issue, what are some of the resources that you usually, you know, provide for them?
For loneliness or just general?
I think, yeah. I mean, for loneliness, for, you know, maybe overcoming codependency in the way yeah. that, you know, you have to be around friends all the time. You can never yeah. be alone. It's just not an option. Like, you know,
I think guided meditations are helpful with slowing your thoughts and becoming more like less judgmental of the thoughts that come and letting them come and go. So I always talk about like different apps that we've talked about before, like mm-hmm. Headspace, calm.com or Insight Timer, those ones. I think, and again, like I talk about moving, like I always exercise is something I always talk to people about, as well as spending time outside, especially when people are working from home right now. A lot of people are still doing that and feeling that, again, like I feel like that's fueled a lot of depression and loneliness. So like joining a gym or joining a running group or finding ways to be part of a community. So it's not so much resources. I'm like, well, it's like connecting to your values. Like we talked about a couple chats ago, and finding things that you can do that fill you up and that don't rely entirely on others, but also make you feel connected to others, if that makes sense. So I I went to this like Planned Parenthood volunteer meeting yesterday, and I'm going to start doing that because I feel like I have a lot of anxiety about the world. And so mm-hmm. for me, that's like taking action. I feel like I'm like funneling that anxiety into something productive and helpful where I feel like I have meaning. So I think really just focusing on the things you can do, the interests that you can like honor and give time to is a really important, especially I think a lot of us just want to put off things. We're like, well, now's not a good time. But I mean, you don't have to like run a marathon to exercise. You can do an at-home workout for 15 minutes. Totally. Another, I use a FitOn app, which is free too for in-home workouts. And they have like 10-minute workouts to like 30-minute workouts and even longer. And they have yoga and Pilates and strength training and HIIT workouts and even guided meditation. They have like, and I think they have like walking ones too. So like there's so much out there that's free too that you can use to help create these habits like exercise or like, again, like just building community.
Yeah. I love all those options. And I think one other one that I've heard of, I haven't used it myself, but I know my older brother used it when he first moved to LA, and that was meetup.com. Mm-hmm. And that was a super helpful website. And you could find like anything, like poetry clubs, D&D, mm-hmm. walking.
Yeah.
Like literally anything. And so I think that's something that I might actually do here, you know, yeah. whether it's something sober or maybe now that I'm having to walk and I'm not a walker, maybe looking for a walking club, that could be something.
Yeah. People do hikes.
Yeah. Not a hike.
There's everything.
I'm not, but I could be, you know, like I have to be open-minded about it now.
Well, I'm not like a backpack. You can do like mile, you know, they have like very like low grade hikes that you can do. But I think, yeah, I think meetup groups, that's another good resource that I've had clients use. And people do the Bumble friends. What is it? Bumble friends. They like find friends through Bumble. And I mean, we're in an age where we have all the technology to network and to like meet people with similar interests in our area. Especially with very like niche interests, right? Like there's very specific things. Like I had a client who was like in this like chicken, like farm backyard chicken group where they just all like, were like essentially had like chickens that they were raising. It was like this very niche. And she was able to find like a group that connected her to other people that did that. So you can find anything on there.
Absolutely. Well, I feel less alone after this conversation.
I do too. And you're going to go into your 30th year feeling connected, empowered. You're going to have your walking shoes.
I do.
It's going to be great.
Hoka, whatever.
Yeah, Hoka. I just got Hoka running shoes.
Yeah. So we're officially kind of old. Got the orthopedics. We're there. but yeah, I think just, you know, for everybody who's listening, I think what we hope you take away is, once again, Instagram's a highlight reel. Nobody's happy all the fucking time. Nobody's connected all the fucking time. We all get sad. We all get lonely. But there are tools that we can use to pull ourselves out of that. It's totally normal to feel lonely. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's kind of goes back to that. It's okay to not be okay all the time. You know, you can kind of sit with that. And sometimes it's good to be alone, not lonely, but it's good to be alone. Mm-hmm. So practice being alone and get to know yourself better. Thank you for listening to another episode of Generation Dry, a podcast for the sober and sober curious. If you like what you've been listening to, make sure to subscribe and leave us a review. For more information about this episode, you can check out the description. And for more techniques and tips, make sure to follow us on Instagram @GenerationDryPod. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you guys next week.